You are listening to a message recorded at Living Hope Church in Southwick, Massachusetts. We hope you find encouragement through God's Word today.
I want to encourage you today. The title of my message is that God still speaks. Amen? Do you believe that? Yeah. About maybe a third of you believe it, the rest, not so sure. But it's important to believe that God still speaks in order to hear Him speak. If we don't believe that He does speak, then it'll be very difficult for us to speak. And we are sometimes inclined to believe that God speaks, but He only speaks about big things. He doesn't speak about our lives. He speaks about the big things that God would be concerned about. You know, things going on in the world, natural disasters, wars and conflicts. But surely He doesn't care about me and my everyday life. But the truth and the fact of the matter is, one of the most freeing, encouraging and inspirational things that you can learn is that God still speaks and He wants to speak to you about your life and about the things that you are thinking about. People want to hear from God, but sometimes they don't because they're only looking for God to speak one way. They're looking for the heavens to roll back, a thunder sound and a very deep sounding voice calling out to them in an audible way, and that's how God speaks. I can tell you from experience that if that's the only way you are looking for God to speak, then you probably will be disappointed. But to understand that God speaks in a variety of different ways is helpful because He wants to speak to you, but if you are not listening because you're only looking for Him to speak a certain way, you might miss it. Now, why should we earnestly desire to hear God's voice? Because when we are in alignment with God's Spirit, we can receive divine direction as to what He wants us to do. Now, before we go too far, I want to share with you three things about the Lord's voice with you this morning, so you can write these three things down. And then I want to share with you about ways that we can hear His voice by looking at the life of Elijah. So, first and foremost, the thing that you must understand about the Lord's voice is, number one, the Lord's voice is creative. Genesis chapter 1, John 1 tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. Do we remember how God did it, though? What did God do to create everything that was? He spoke, and by His speech, His will became His words became action, and things took life and began. God made things that hadn't existed yet, and they all came from the creativity of His mind. He thought it, willed it, spoke it, and became reality. And He has the ability to bring something out of nothing. Just think of it, out of darkness, light. Out of the waters, dry ground. Out of the heavens, the sun, star, and moons. Out of all these things, God spoke, and things that weren't there began to be there. And so I want you to understand that, is that God's voice can create something out of nothing. His word can create something out of nothing, especially if we put our faith and our trust in the word that He has given us. It's only when we put our faith in the word that He has given us does that empower the word that is before us, and it can make a difference in our life and circumstances. There might be things that you're hoping and trusting God for, but you have not yet seen those things. Know that God can create those things when we put our faith and trust in Him. God is also very creative. If you've ever traveled to any other part of this country besides New England, you can see that there are beautiful things that He's created, whether it's the Grand Canyon or whether it's the mountain ranges or the beautiful waterfalls or the islands in the Caribbean. He created all of those things out of the creativity of His mind to bring it forth by His word. And the same God that is creatively creating those things is the same God that can get you to be creative in finding the solutions to your problems and your situations. Sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck on one thing and one way and one answer to prayer. And the reality is we want to see God do something, but we're focused on the one thing. Lord, I want my family to be saved. God, I want this promotion at work, or I want a better job. And sometimes we don't understand that sometimes the way that God will bring your family to salvation is through the death of a loved one, where everybody comes together, reconnects, and all of a sudden faith is shared. Or we want, God, I want an increase in the raise of my job, but I didn't expect that God was going to fire me from this job that I'm currently at so that he could open the door for me to work somewhere else where I would have more of an opportunity to make more. We don't think of things that way. But if we trust God's leading and guidance, we will understand that God is incredibly creative and he will give us solutions we have not thought of yet. Secondly, not only is the Lord's voice creative, but the Lord's voice is powerful. Psalm 29, verses 2-9, David wrote this psalm to remind the reader of just how powerful God is. And it starts with a call for all the heavenly angels to praise God, and then it calls for us to do the same, recalling who God is. I want to challenge you today, don't make God too small. That is, the problems of your life are too big for him to handle. Just because you can't handle them does not mean that God is incapable of handling them. It just means that our view of God is sometimes too small. And we have to see him for who he is. David reminds us of that in Psalm 29, verse 2. Look at it with me. It says, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh." Now look at verse 9. It says, "The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and all his temple cry out glory." That's powerful imagery concerning the voice of God. Look at the imagery they use to describe. He says that his voice thunders over the raging sea. It is majestic like a king on his throne. The word of the king always became law. Whatever the king said by fiat, he would call it into being, and then his servants would carry out, and it would be done. When it says that the voice of the Lord is majestic, it means that he has the power, the position, and the authority to see it carried out, and his will to see it done. His voice is strong. It mentions the cedars of Lebanon. In ancient times in the Middle East, there was no stronger tree than cedar. If you've ever gone to the store and you wanted to keep bugs out of your closet and away from your clothes, you would get mothballs. Sometimes the mothballs were wax, but one of the things you could also get is something called cedar. And cedar naturally repels insects and bugs. That's why the cedar is always a strong wood to build with. And he's saying, just as though those cedars are strong, the voice of the Lord can snap those trees like twigs. His voice is a flame of fire. His voice can either bring judgment like a fire or pour out his spirit like a fire, displaying both his judgment and his mercy. His voice shakes the wilderness. The image would be like the roar of a mighty lion. If you've ever seen wilderness documentaries where there's a forest and all the animals are in the forest, but then the lion roars and then animals start to scatter everywhere because they realize the most powerful of beasts is in their midst. And so when it says that the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, picture, if you will, like a mighty lion roaring, displaying and dispelling all those that would be in his midst. The Lord is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and his lion, this lion can frighten off the roaming lion that is the devil that seeks whom he may devour. That's the power of the voice of the Lord. Verse 9 gives us a contrast of both the power and the gentleness of the Lord's voice. God's voice spoke every creature into existence. Every creature that is on this earth, God spoke that into being and created it into existence. His voice is the voice that gives life to all things. And it says that his voice is so gentle that it is present that when the deer gives birth, his voice is responsible for that. And yet so powerful that his voice is strong enough to strip the bark off the tree by the breath of his voice. We're not speaking metaphorically here. We're speaking of a God who is over his creation and is powerful to do amazing things in the world we live in. Remember who you serve. Remember that we serve a mighty God, and he only needs to speak the word into our circumstances, and our circumstances can change. God, with just the roar from his mouth, can send the enemy fleeing. He can lay waste the wilderness and bring life into dead situations. I'm here to tell you this morning that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The third thing is that the Lord's voice always, always, always speaks the truth. Always speaks the truth, even when the truth is hard to hear. Even when truth is sometimes difficult to try and digest, the voice of the Lord always speaks truth. Jesus said this when he was before Pilate in John 18, 37. He said, "For this purpose I was born, and I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my what? My voice." So the Lord always speaks truth because why? He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. It's so important to listen to the Lord's voice in every situation. No matter what the circumstances are, trust his voice. No matter what trials or tribulations come, look to hear his voice. And it's easy to get caught up in the voices of others, especially when there is pressure, when there is negativity, when there is criticism, when there's discouragement. But we must be careful not to listen to the voice of doubt. Whether it's doubt in ourselves, we doubt our abilities, we doubt our capacity to get through it. Whether we have self-doubt or we doubt God, we have to be careful to not let these external voices, these external voices become our internal voice. Let me tell you right now that if you're not careful, you can listen to the wrong voice and mistake their voice for your voice. You can listen to whether it be your critics, or you can listen to the enemy, or you can listen to the world, and all of these things are saying, don't be a Christian, don't stand up for what you believe in, don't do this, don't do that. There'll be times that you do the right thing, and everyone will be against you for doing the right thing, and just because they're against you doesn't mean that what you're doing is not right. It just means that you brought something to people's attention, and they don't like it. And guess what? That happens when you what? Speak the truth. So that happens sometimes. We shouldn't be alarmed by that. But sometimes the truth we speak in boldness results in an insecurity when we realize not everyone's happy to receive that. Your coworkers don't like the fact that you told your supervisor about how we should be working better. And now everyone has to work harder. They didn't appreciate that truth. It may have been the truth. But still, sometimes we tell a friend of ours about something we see in their character, something we see in their life that is detrimental and destructive to them, maybe even a family member, and they may not always appreciate you speaking the truth. It's truth that's life-saving and will change them if they listen, but chances are they're not, because why? It's something they don't want to hear. Easy to let those things pressure us into not following him or doubting who he is. But even in the midst of a world full of voices, the most important voice to listen to is God's voice. Remember what he's told you. Remember the promises he's made in prayer. Remember the truth of his word and what it says. Can I challenge you to always test what you think, sense, and feel from God with what the word says? Because if it's contrary to what he said, disregard it. God never contradicts himself, and he never speaks out of two sides of his mouth. God is unchanging. The wonderful thing about truth is that truth is unchanging, and you can always rely on the truth. Always filter your feelings through God's truth. Listen, hear me when I say there are times that you might feel like God doesn't love you, but is that the truth compared to his word? No. Will he correct you? Yes. Why? And the scriptures tell us in the New Testament, because those he loves, he disciplines. So the discipline of the Lord does not mean he doesn't love you. It's because he loves you that he corrects you. There are times in life where you feel like, you know, nothing's going right and God's abandoned you. God has not abandoned you. It just feels like he has. Always filter your feelings through God's truth. Why? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart of man is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it?" So there's times your feelings might tell you one thing. Your feelings might even tell you that you might feel passionate about doing something, and it may be something for God, but if it's contrary to what his word says, remember, he's the unchanging truth, not us. He's the unchanging one, not us. So we must compare what we feel, what we sense, and what we feel like we're being led to with his truth. These three things about the Lord's voice, it's creative, it's powerful, and always speaks truth, are important to remember as we look at the way God speaks. Now turn with me to 1 Kings 19. Stay with me. I'm going to run quick on this because I don't want to bore you. I just want to speak to what God wants to speak into your life and give him an opportunity to do that. But 1 Kings 19, Elijah, one of the most powerful prophets in all of the Old Testament. He is synonymous with the prophets. When Jewish people speak of the law and the prophets, there are two people that personify that. One is Moses. He personifies the law. First five books of the Old Testament were written by him, and the religion of Judaism had its origin in Moses. But of the prophets, encapsulates all the writings of the prophets, there is one man who is the most significant in Israel's history. It is Elijah. In fact, when they sit down to a Passover meal, when they celebrate the Passover Seder, they always leave one spot open, one chair at the table. And they leave it open and they set the table for that person. And you know who that person is? They set that table for Elijah. Why for Elijah? Because Elijah, when Elijah comes, then Christ, the Messiah, will come. So Elijah's significant. But can you imagine for a moment that Elijah got discouraged? Elijah, a man who could call down fire from heaven. Elijah, who could perform massive miracles. And so he performs a miracle on Mount Carmel. He does something amazing. And the queen of that time, Queen Jezebel, was not exactly happy with what Elijah had done and said, "I'm going to make sure you're dead by the end of the day." You know what Elijah did? He didn't stand up to her and say, "Well, I'll call down fire on you too." He didn't. He got afraid and he ran. And so we see in 1 Kings 19, we see that Elijah, and he goes to a place where he needs to hear from God. And so let's take a look at those verses with us this morning, starting in Verse 2, this is what Elijah speaks, Elijah experiences. Now, he goes to a place called Mount Horeb. Now, that might not sound significant to you, but Mount Horeb has another name as well, and the name is Mount Sinai. Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. Now, why is that significant? Because it was on Mount Sinai that God appeared to the people of Israel. It's on Mount Sinai that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. It's on Mount Sinai that God appeared in fire and smoke and appeared to the people of Israel and consecrated the people to a covenant with him. So that is a mountain where God spoke. Notice what Elijah does when he's discouraged. Where does he go? He goes to the place where he knows God speaks. Church, I'm going to tell you this, and it's so important for you. No matter what you go through, always remember to go back to the place where you hear God speak. Whether that's in a church, whether that's in your prayer closet, whether it's in the Word, go back to the place where God speaks to you. For you, it might mean going back in your life and reflecting upon the times where God spoke to you deeply and he spoke to your heart. Go back to that place. Go back to that posture. Go back to that humility. I promise you, God will speak. And he'll dispel every voice that would speak against you, every voice that would say, you know what, you're no good, God's done with you, he doesn't have a plan for your life anymore. It's so important to get away from the threatening voice of Jezebel and to go to the place where he resides and he dwells. They knew that he was there. Now, you have to keep in mind, this is Old Covenant, Old Testament. Right? The Spirit of God would dwell in certain places, the tabernacle, the temple, Mount Sinai. You live in a day and age where the Spirit of God dwells within you upon salvation. You no longer have to make a journey or a pilgrimage in order to encounter the presence of God or where God might have once been. You can go in your prayer closet and encounter the presence of God because he dwells within you. Do not neglect what he has deposited in the depths of your soul. Because God still speaks. The question is, what voice is louder in your life right now? And believe me, there's a lot of loud voices in your life. There's a loud voice in here this morning too, so. So he goes to Horeb, he goes to Sinai. Verse 9 says, Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah complains. He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel who have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am the only one left, and they seek my life to take it away. By the way, not true. The Lord reveals it to him later. It's like there's 7,000 people like you that haven't bowed to Baal. Verse 11, he says, go out and stand before the mount of the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. Underline that. But it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, an earthquake. Underline that. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Elijah stands on the mountains, and I want you to notice how God speaks to Elijah, and from it we can gather truth about how God speaks to us. Elijah stands on the mountain, the Lord passes by. First came the wind, but God was not in the wind. Had God used wind before to communicate his presence? Absolutely. The psalmist says in Psalm 18, verse 10, and 104, verse 3, he says that God is enthroned upon the wings of the wind. In Job 38, when Job is questioning everything and questioning God, and God decides he's going to come down and have a conversation with Job about his mistaken perspective, God appears in a whirlwind, which has got to be terrifying, to speak to Job about his misconceptions about who God is. He speaks to Job out of a whirlwind. Jesus himself in John 3, when he's talking to Nicodemus, he's saying that the moving of the Spirit is like the wind. You cannot tell where it came from or where it's going. In Acts chapter 2, we know on the day of Pentecost, before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was what? The sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's easy to look for God in the presence of the wind, his presence in the midst of the wind. But in this particular case, he was not in the wind. Secondly, then came an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Had God used earthquakes before? Absolutely. On that same mountain that he was standing on, God caused an earthquake before Moses approached the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. Exodus 18, verse 19. When the sons of Korah rebelled against Moses' leadership, God caused an earthquake to open up the ground and swallow them up. At the crucifixion and at the resurrection, there was a mighty earthquake that took place. Had God used earthquakes before? Yes, he had. Was he using them in this situation? No. Do you see where I'm going with this? That sometimes we're looking for God in one way, a way that he's done before, and a way that he'll do again, but it's not how he wants to speak in the situation that you're in. Okay? Thirdly, then came a fire, but God was not in a fire. Does God use fire? Probably more than anything else he does. God likes fire, right? It was a pillar of fire by night that guided the people of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness. Exodus 13, 21. Elijah, who God's speaking to, is known as the prophet of fire. Whenever Elijah was challenged, he could call down fire from heaven. He did it when he was confronted by soldiers. He did it on Mount Carmel. Elijah understood fire. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to rest on each of those gathered together, tongues of what? Fire appeared over each of their heads as the Spirit gave them words to say. John the Baptist, when preceding the message, the ministry of Jesus, he said, when Jesus comes, he will baptize them with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. So we understand fire. Fire is heat. Fire is passion. Fire is warmth. Fire is all-consuming. But does God show up in fire for Elijah? No. He doesn't even show up in fire for the prophet of fire, the one who could call down fire. You would think that, like, okay, of all the ways God's going to communicate to Elijah, surely fire would be it. But he doesn't. Instead, how does the presence of God appear to Elijah? In what way does he manifest himself? Number four, a gentle whisper, a still small voice. And God was in the still small voice. Why a gentle whisper? Why not in the other ways that God had appeared before? Why not speak to Elijah in power, might, and majesty? Why doesn't he do that? Well, I think the reason is found in what Elijah needed to hear in that moment. He just came back from Mount Carmel, where God showed up in fire and in power. Elijah knew that God could do that. But where was Elijah at that moment? Elijah was downcast and discouraged. Did he need God to shout at him or shake him? No. No, he needed God's gentle guidance. As an aside, God speaks to us in the way that we need to hear him. Amen? Sometimes there's times where you just need, God speaks to us in the way that they need to hear, that we need to hear him. It's kind of like if you are a parent and you have a kid that's crying, what do you do when a child's crying? Men are not great at this because men will sit down and be like, they don't know what to do. But typically, you don't sit down next to a person that's crying and go, buck up, soldier, you'll do fine, right? That's not what's needed at that moment. What's needed is someone to weep with that person, right? So sometimes we're like, rah, rah, here we go. We're trying to encourage you. We're trying to get you worked up. And it's like, that's not what the person needs at that moment. God always speaks to us in just the way we need to hear him. That's why it's important when we pray for people at the altar, you always want to listen to their story, hear their heart, and then listen to what God's Spirit says. So what that means is if a person comes up for prayer, I listen to what they're saying. I don't immediately fast forward to what I need to pray for or what I think. I listen to what they're telling me. I hear their heart. Is it broken? Are they downcast? Are they overwhelmed? Are they anxious? Are they stressed? I listen to them. And I say, you know what? Let's pray. I take a couple moments and I go, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to this person? And I might have one impression about what to say, but what does the Lord want that person to hear is the more important thing. If you stop, pause, and listen, you will be God's mouthpiece to speak what the person needs to hear. And that might be something as simple as a verse of scripture that comes to mind, that God brings to mind, and you share it, and it's the exact verse they read in their devotionals this morning before they came to church, right? Or you share an encouraging thought with them, and you say, you know, I was just thinking about how God did this for this particular person in scripture, and that person goes, you know what? I feel like God was speaking to my heart the exact same thing, and that's what I needed to hear. And so if we're careful to listen, we will always hear his spirit and speak exactly what they need to hear. Ask yourself when you're listening to him, do they need comfort? Then speak words of comfort in the spirit. Do they need encouragement? Speak words of encouragement and life into them. Are they going through a battle? Speak words of strength and do battle with them in prayer for what they're going through. And God speaks to Elijah, and the way he speaks to him is a way that we should be able to be used to speak to others. He speaks in a gentle way that corrects, guides, and strengthens him. Just what Elijah needed to hear and the way he needed to hear it. God instructs him on what's next and shows him what to do. And you know what's interesting out of this? After he hears this word from the Lord, he's like, oh, okay. And he goes and does exactly what the Lord showed him to do, in a very quiet, whispering way. He didn't need to shout at him, because Elijah had already been in a situation where there was a lot of noise, but like, what he needs is like, I'm so downcast, Lord. Can you speak to me again? And he speaks to him in a tone that's very gentle and instructs him and encourages him, says, it's okay, I got something else for you to do. Go do those things. Sometimes we just need a word in season from the Lord to keep going. And this is a lesson for us too, as well. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Just because we had an experience at an altar once doesn't mean that that's the only way God speaks. Sometimes we get so worked up about things we need to experience that we chase the experience instead of chasing the God of the experience. If we pursue God, say, God, whatever you have for me, whatever you want for me, that's what I want. God will always meet you in the way that you need to hear it. Not in the way that you might think you need to hear it, in the way you actually need to hear it. I've been in services where there's been joy, unspeakable joy in the service, where people are overwhelmed and there's shouts, there's this jubilation, there's excitement in the house. And those times of joy are very encouraging and uplifting. And I've been in services where the conviction of God falls heavily and people are crying out and they're weeping because they realize God's working something in them that they need to change. When was the last time we had that in our hearts? God will do that too, where you just hear the sound of sobbing, sounds of weeping, because God is moving on people to change. And I've been in services too where God's presence is so thick and so tangible. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? If you're in a service like that, you'll know. It just feels like God's filling the room. And when he fills the room, you feel like I've got nothing to say that can offer anything to him. And you just realize that you're in the presence of greatness. You're in the presence of one who is greater and more holy and more powerful than you. And all you can do is just sit in silence, or kneel in silence, or pray in silence, because you just recognize who's in the room with you. Church, I believe today that if we want to hear from him in a way that he wants to speak to you and I today, whatever the circumstances that you're going through, if you're going through a challenge, God will speak to you about that challenge. If you're looking for direction, God will speak clearly about what the direction is that he wants for your life. If you're looking for comfort, if you're looking for peace, God will speak words of peace to you in that moment. But if we're just chasing after things and experiences, we will be disappointed time after time. But if we chase after the one in whom gives those experiences, we will experience all those things and more. Remember what Elijah did when he was in a desperate place. Remember what Elijah did when he was in a dark place. He went where he knew he could find and talk with God. This morning, you're in a place today where God speaks. You're in a place today where you're meant to be encouraged, and I hope that I've encouraged you in some way. But you're in a place where we gather to hear God's voice. Not just in the preaching of the word, that's one thing, but also through one another, through times of prayer, through times of reflection. I wonder this morning, as we're in this place today, all of us here in this place, can we just stand to our feet right now? Let's just stand to our feet right now. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. Some of you, I do. And sometimes the first inclination of our flesh is to give counsel. But what is the counsel of God's Spirit for a particular situation? What is the thing that He wants to say to us and to say to you? Sometimes we miss it because our first inclination is to go with what we're thinking instead of what God is saying. Maybe it's to pray for your family. Maybe it's a situation in your home. Maybe it's a situation with your job, and you say, God, I just need to know what you want me to do. I believe this morning that the answer is in the room. I believe this morning that God wants to speak to us here today. And the way He speaks is through our times of prayer, our times of worship, and our times with one another. So would you join me in this moment to, as Kathy leads us, don't sing. You're like, well, don't sing. Yeah, don't sing. It said, worship. Well, isn't worship singing? No, not just singing. It's not just singing. It's entering into a place where God is. Elijah said, I just have to get to Sinai. I just have to get to Horeb. I just have to get to the place where God speaks. And God wants to take the anxiety, the fear, the worry, the misdirection, the confusion out of your life so greatly right now. And understand, God still speaks. But only if we're listening. You know how we listen? When we don't talk. Have you ever tried listening and talking at the same time? Not great. Doesn't always work. But what if we took this time right now? And as Kathy leads, we just worship and say, God, I'm here. And I don't know how long it was that Elijah had to wait to hear from God. We just see it in a couple of verses there. How long did he wait? We don't know, but he waited until he heard. I wonder if you can do that this morning with me today. And just, let's just worship God. Let's spend time with God. And maybe as you were worshiping today, maybe God gives you an encouragement for someone else in this room. Maybe God speaks something to you just like it's a verse of scripture. It's just a word of encouragement. And if God's laying that on your heart for a particular person, would you go up and just simply kind of put a hand on their shoulder? Let them know you're there. Don't freak them out. Simply say, you know what, I would just start praying for them to say, Lord, I just speak blessings over there. I speak comfort over them right now. Or you begin to share a verse of scripture, whatever that verse of scripture is. Or maybe you just pray for that person. But whatever you are doing, just spend time worshiping God in this moment and allow God to speak to you as He would see fit. Because I believe there's guidance, there's direction, there's encouragement. Can we do that? Let's worship Him right now.
I surrender.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings to worship with us. We are located at 267 College Highway in Southwick, Massachusetts. For more information about Living Hope Church, visit us online at www.livinghopechurchag.org.